listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. It's time for the Kenai Conversation. I'm Jenny Nyman. This week on the Conversation, we find ourselves in an interesting situation with the COVID vaccine rollout. It is picking up steam here on the Kenai Peninsula, so much so that we have found ourselves in a first-time situation where there are open appointments looking for available arms. So we're going to talk about the COVID vaccine and how that process is working on the peninsula this week. Our guests today are Dan Nelson, manager of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Office of Emergency Management. Dan, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me this morning.
We've also got Justin Ruffridge, co-owner of Soldotna Professional Pharmacy. Thanks for being here, Justin.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jenny.
And we've got Dr. Kristen Mitchell with Peninsula Internal Medicine. And quick editor's note, I need to also point out that Dr. Mitchell is a member of the KDLL Board of Directors. Has nothing to do with why she's on the show here today, but just for what that is worth. Dr. Mitchell, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jenny. Always glad to be here.
So Dan, maybe we can start with you if you can set the scene for where we're at in the rollout. How is it that we have open appointments available? Seemed like, man, you couldn't have bribed your way into one in the first wave that was available, and now you're looking for folks to get in touch and make appointments.
You know, it's an interesting way that worked out. You know, as we all heard in the news there in about December timeframe that these emergency use authorizations were coming for vaccines. And then all of a sudden, it seems about a day or two before they showed up, the state gave us the high sign and said, let's go. We're going to start. And so we started with, kind of healthcare workers, frontline folks that have patient care responsibilities, as well as people that lived in group or congregate homes. And really what we saw when that first rolled out was just a tremendous demand for those vaccines. And then we went into the next level, which included our residents over 65 years of age. So especially once that tier opened up, when that's the tier we're still in, so folks that are over 65, as well as frontline healthcare workers, there was just really a tremendous demand. I think we definitely had some clinics that filled up in an hour or less, sometimes much less than that down in the South Peninsula. But right now we're at a point where we do have some vaccines available. We've got a number of appointments when we're talking here in the Central Peninsula here on Wednesday morning. I'm just looking at the count and just over 170 appointments available here in the next about 10 or 15 days. So really a good thing. And what we need to do is get the word out now. And there's been some challenges with the rollout and using technology and doing those types of things. But I think we're at the point here where we need to make sure people are getting that word and we're getting them scheduled. And as we continue to get that over 65 population, we'll be moving on to the next tier.
And is it a problem to have vaccines just kind of waiting for an available arm? I know initially there was so much concern with storage temperatures and making sure they're still shelf stable and ready to be administered. Are vaccines going to expire if they don't find a taker quickly?
And that's an interesting logistical problem that we've had with these vaccines. A lot of people have asked me questions, and the answer, and I'm gonna ask our two guests here as well to correct me if I'm wrong, but as long as we keep those, if they're in storage, they do have a little bit of a longer shelf life. But the big issue here and why we're asking people to make appointments is these vaccines come in multiples of 5 or 10 vaccines to a vial. And once you open those, you only have a matter of hours before they go bad. So it's important that we have essentially a name attached to every dose before we do a clinic. So there are quite a few logistics that go with the distribution, because our ultimate goal, of course, is we don't want to waste one.
Okay. Justin or Kristen, you both do vaccines, Justin at the pharmacy and Kristen at your practice. How has storage and appointment planning gone for you guys?
Well, I guess I'll start. So at Central Peninsula Internal Medicine, we are taking appointments for patients who are already enrolled in our clinic. And we are an internal medicine practice, so we have quite a lot of patients over the age of 65. So that's a big group of people for us to try and offer vaccines to. And we're doing that By appointment, we have some appointments scheduled now every day since we got our February allocation in this week. And we have also done one big Saturday clinic where we vaccinated 198 people in a day. But Dan's exactly right that we can't just have a vial sitting around in case someone comes in for an appointment and also wants a vaccine. We have to know a time and date for that shot, because once the vial is opened, we only have 6 hours before it goes bad. And it's such a precious resource. We absolutely don't want to risk wasting any doses at all.
Justin, what about you? How's the pharmacy handling booking appointments and making sure none of those doses are going to waste?
Yeah, we were a little lucky in that we kind of got our first run at doing vaccines with our assisted living and nursing home population. So we were able to understand pretty easily the number of individuals that would be needing a vaccine and really get comfortable with that planning process. So it really rolled in well to January and now February, when we have to start booking appointments online and making sure that we know the exact number of individuals that are going to be there. We've had the opportunity to use both vaccines now, the Pfizer vaccine and Moderna vaccine, and each has sort of, you know, similar requirements. I think there's a misconception maybe that Moderna is a little easier to use than Pfizer, and I don't think we've really found that to be the case. One of the upsides for Pfizer is that you can get your second dose in 21 days instead of 28. So you're a little faster on some of your immune system, you know, taking root and having protection for COVID. I think on the storage requirements for making sure that we don't have wasted doses, we just make sure we have a list of people at any given moment that are close and available and meet the requirements to get a vaccine. So in case we have a person that doesn't show up for an appointment or has another circumstance that occurs, that we can get a vaccine into an arm and not waste any doses. A lot of that is community at its best. Last night was a great example. I worked with two area providers to find two people to get a vaccine last night. We had two extra doses and needed to get it gone in about an hour, and we were able to find two people that met the need, and it's just people working together, and it's really, really awesome to see.
Nice. And as you say, so both of these vaccines require two doses, which of course complicates then the appointments and booking and managing all of that. Dan, can you talk a little bit about the various ways that folks can go about getting an appointment? So of course they can call individual providers like Dr. Mitchell's office or the pharmacy or other locations that are giving the shots, but there's some website options too, and that's been a little bumpy, but definitely getting better. So if you can address ways that people can get themselves set up to get the shot.
Absolutely. And we do have a number of options in the Central Peninsula for folks. And you're right. So I think the elephant in the room with some folks has been the website that the state has given to us to use. There's definitely some difficulty in that, and it's a little bit clunky, and they have been working to improve it. So we've been trying to give people some ways to use the website and also to just call by phone. So you're absolutely right. So probably the easiest step for folks, if you want to start with going online, and I'm going to give a website and a phone number here in a minute for folks that are listening if they want to grab a pen, and I'll give you a few of those. But they can go online, search for an available vaccine appointment on the state website, and that gets most providers. Not everybody uses that website, so there's also a couple different resources that we have. So if you are a patient of your doctor's office or a patient of your pharmacy, you might want to give them a call and those individual providers. But we also have a call center set up, so we have folks that are manning those phones in the morning. The state also has one that has some extended hours that can help people find where to get an appointment. And I'm going to come back now to that website and phone number here. The website for people to sign up, it's a product called PrepMod. And that works for the entire state of Alaska. So you can search for Soldotna or Kenai or any of those areas that you wish. And the website is COVIDVAX, V-A-X, so COVIDVAX .alaska.gov. And that'll get you into searching. And also at the Kenai Borough, our phone number here is 262-4636 in the Central Peninsula. That's 262-INFO. And we have volunteers from 9 to noon helping with that. And they can also provide some guidance here on depending on where you live. I do have a list in front of me, and I'll just throw out a few names here of people that are taking appointments that if you're not an established patient, we have Fred Meyer Pharmacy. Walmart is coming, not quite online yet. Safeway in Kenai, Soldotna Professional Pharmacy, Peninsula Community Health Services in Soldotna. And those are just quickly the ones here that have openings for everybody. And then, as I say, if you are a patient, you might check with your primary care physician or your pharmacy. So a couple different ways to do it. But one of the big things that we're really encouraging folks, if you can get online, that is the easiest way to do it. And if you're somebody that maybe can help a parent or a friend that maybe doesn't have access to the internet or has maybe not a good computer at home, please help them get signed up as well. And that's really the big push here is, as we're talking about appointments that are available, we want to make sure that those folks that don't have access to technology have an equal opportunity to get their vaccine as those that do.
Of course, you mentioned the elephant in the room, and when you're talking about folks perhaps least likely to be computer savvy, it is the 65 and over crowd. But on the other hand, how do you coordinate such a large rollout with, as you say, tons of different providers and different communities, and some are serving current patients and some are open to everyone? Are there particular issues that folks have run into, like with the website? I mean, obviously, if you don't have a computer or internet access, that's a no-go. But are there maybe any quick tips or advice you could give people? You did a Facebook Live video, I believe, right? Talking about helping people through that process?
Yeah, we actually went through a video. It was a step-by-step video, so I'll point people to Facebook, to KPB Alerts, and you'll find that video linked there. It's about 15 minutes long, but it really takes people through the step-by-step process to navigate that. So certainly encourage people to do that. And of course, they can call those numbers, and I'll give them again in a moment for some assistance with that. I think the website has definitely been a challenge, and there has been things it requires you at some points to enter insurance information, take pictures of your insurance card, some of those. That really early on was an issue. I think some of that has improved since the website rolled out. But, you know, really, it's just a bit of a long process. There's a lot of information to enter. But the real advantage to using that and getting all that is when you get to the clinic, when you actually get to the event, all of that is done. There's not really much paperwork left to do. And really what people, I think are finding, and certainly Dr. Mitchell or Justin can help me with this, but from what I've noticed, you know, we can get people through a vaccine clinic in about 20 minutes and get them on with their day. So it's a great thing to be able to have that. And like I say, our volunteers, we've got emergency response volunteers, staff from the cities that are helping us sign people up and answer those phones. So we're really trying to mitigate that in every way we can. Again, making sure that we can get people a vaccine. And I'm going to give that number out one more time. If you are having trouble with the website or finding a provider near you, 262-INFO, 262-4636. We'll give that a couple more times in the hour, I'm sure.
And we will post that on our website as well with this program audio. Justin, how about you? How does the process work for someone signed up, they have the appointment, they come to the pharmacy, let's say, or one of the other clinics you've helped with? What should folks expect?
Yeah, I guess the first thing I'll reiterate is what Dan was mentioning. Even though the website and the sign up is a little clunky in some cases, there's a lot of positives to the use of that site when it comes to running a clinic. So we've been able to run clinics now in multiple locations. We've done one here, obviously, at the pharmacy. We've partnered with the borough and other volunteers to do a large clinic at Soldotna Prep School. We're going to be doing one at the Sterling Community Center. on Friday, and then partnering with Kenai Fire and doing two clinics on Saturday. And all of those are able to be done due to this online sort of clinic running service, which is PrepMod. So all of that information people input up front. And so it doesn't have to be done at the time the clinic is being run. So people will get an email usually a day or two prior to the clinic. It will explain the clinic process. People drive to the clinic location. They usually wait in their vehicle. And then they will receive either an email or a text message or just walk in at their appointment time. And they'll be greeted by somebody that has all their paperwork, everything ready to go. They'll be directed to a vaccinator. They'll receive their vaccine. They'll be taken to another waiting area. Well, they'll wait for 15 minutes just to ensure that there's no issues or problems that arise from receiving the vaccine. And then during that 15-minute time frame, there's people available to help them sign up and ensure that they're able to register for a spot for their second dose. And then they're on their way. And so that 20 minutes, although maybe it sounds like a long time, it's really about 5 minutes to get a vaccine and 15 minutes hanging out. And we've seen outright party scenarios in some situations where people haven't seen others in a while, all socially distanced, of course. But they're in a room with other individuals and conversations and hellos and haven't seen you in a while, friend, has been really nice to see. And you forget how much you miss that sometimes. And it's been really, really awesome to see that in not only the pharmacy here, but in some of the other locations where we've been holding these clinics. So it's a really pretty seamless process. The only challenge is, you know, really having people pay attention to the communications that are coming out and making sure that they're staying socially distanced and getting those second appointments.
And if someone is experiencing any symptoms or has recently been diagnosed with COVID, are you recommending that they hold off on getting the vaccine, or is that still okay to do?
Yeah, if somebody is currently ill, that's really not an appropriate time to get a vaccine. We actually had that situation occur yesterday for some second doses, and we're just asking people to hold off until they're feeling a little better, and then we're gonna get them right back in and get those doses. So just want to make sure people get the best immune response possible. But I think Dr. Mitchell probably has more to say about that.
If people are ill with symptoms and might be contagious with COVID or some other contagious illness, then we definitely don't want them to come be in a room with a bunch of other people who are getting vaccinated. It's much better to wait. So if somebody has known COVID and they're on their 10-day isolation period, or they have some other illness that could be contagious, it's really best to wait and not expose the vaccinators and the other people who are at a vaccine clinic to get their vaccine. One question that's come up a lot is, if I've already had COVID, should I get vaccinated? And so definitely not in the first 10 days when you might be contagious with COVID. That is not a good time to get a vaccine. And we're still learning about how durable the protection is after a person has had COVID. We think it's pretty variable depending on the severity of the illness. The best estimates from the experts at this point are, after a COVID illness, people probably have at least 3 months of immune protection and are less likely to get COVID a second time. So many people are choosing to wait 3 months after their COVID infection before they get their vaccine. But the CDC recommendations are that if it's after your infectious period, so after 10 days after you have been diagnosed with COVID, it's safe to get a vaccine. And if there's an appointment available and you qualify based on your age group or whatever criteria are in effect at the time you're thinking about it, it's fine to get a vaccine if there's one available.
Okay. And you just mentioned eligibility there. So Dan, maybe we can throw it back to you. How do the tier determinations work? Does the local level have any say in which group of people you're vaccinating at any given time? Is it a state designation? Do the feds have a say in that? How does all that larger level stuff work? Oh, Zoom. We all love Zoom. All right, Dan apparently is having some technical difficulties there.
Jenny, do you want me to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you can, or Justin, if either of you can kind of describe the process of how the tiers and all that is working.
So there's a bunch of different levels of recommendation and decision-making, and there's guidance that comes from the CDC, and there's input to the CDC from the Committee on Immunization Practices, which has experts from a variety of different fields, including members of the public, and they look at the available scientific data and are trying to weigh a variety of different inputs, but they're trying to protect as many people as possible, as efficiently as possible, and also be sure that it is a just and equitable distribution of a scarce resource. So the CDC has given guidance to the states, and then the states have the leeway to make some state-specific decisions. And I should maybe say that the state allocation of vaccine is under the auspices of the state. There also are doses in Alaska under the auspices of the tribal health system. And there also are vaccine doses in Alaska under the military health system. And those are separate decision-making groups from the state guidance. And so within each one of those tiers, there may be separate decisions. So if someone says, you know, but I know someone who is not in the group that I'm in and they got a vaccine, that may be because they are covered under the tribal health allocation or under the military allocation. But currently, as was mentioned earlier, the eligible groups are healthcare workers and people who are living in assisted living or nursing home congregate settings, and then also the population over 65. This week, there's a real encouragement to get as many people over 65 to get their appointments, because it's likely that the state will open up to the next tier pretty soon, and then it will be harder to get appointments. So if you're listening and you're over 65 and you've been thinking, maybe I should get around to making an appointment, this would be a great time to either get on the website or call the number that Dan mentioned, the 262-4636 number that is staffed from 9 to noon, Monday to Friday. Or if you are a member of a clinic that is giving vaccinations, and I don't know that I have an exhaustive list, but the Central Peninsula Hospital Family Medicine Clinic, Central Peninsula Hospital Internal Medicine Clinic, the CPCS clinics, and I think Odyssey Family Practice are all having individual vaccination events for their enrolled patients. So if you are already a primary care patient in one of those clinics, you could call your own clinic. If you are not already enrolled in one of those clinics, then the 262-4636 or the covidvax.alaska.gov website can help you find out where are their appointments available, and go ahead and sign up so that you can get protected.
Thank you for that, Dr. Mitchell. Yeah, Justin, I was just going to throw that over to you, since you're one of the providers that take anyone and you don't have to be an existing customer.
Yeah, one of the things that I would add just on that rollout feature is the state of Alaska did sort of differ from a lot of other states in the opening of our tiers to the 65 and older group. We're one of only a handful of states to actually open up that far, that quickly. And so I think I'm echoing what Dr. Mitchell says, you know, now is really the time. And it's a relatively unique situation where the state of Alaska prioritized that group of people faster than other states. And I think you see that in how well we've rolled out the vaccine across the state percentage wise. And but also it is important that those 65 and older really take advantage of this time of priority, because once other tiers get opened up, it's going to muddy the waters quite a bit more. I will say it's felt a little bit like we've gotten over a hump of some sort. I think my concern is that there are a number of individuals, either with technological sort of issues or a lot of homebound seniors, I think is maybe a concern for me, that don't have a way to get to a clinic. I will say that the city of Kenai put out a transportation option for some individuals, which I thought was a really great thing to see. I know there's a number of providers sort of working on options to get two people in their homes. So I really would counsel people to make phone calls and ask questions and try to find a way. Right now, we're really sort of in a limbo phase while we're waiting to see if other tiers are going to open up. We have, I think, about 5 to 7 days to really make those decisions for seniors in sort of the, the gap right now, where it's not super crazy. We have a little time on our hands and we have available appointments. So really want people to take advantage of that. I think the numbers are there, the 262-4636. We have staff at the pharmacy as well that have been helping people enroll over the phone. It's a full-on community effort right now.
And it looks like we might have Dan Nelson back. Dan, are you there?
I am back.
Wonderful. Oh, Zoom. Thank you for resuming with us. So we're talking Absolutely. About eligibility and rollout. And, you know, we're in this time frame where you really want to get everyone 65 and older who wants the vaccine to get it. And as Justin was mentioning, there are some roadblocks for folks if they don't have transportation. If, you know, we talked about roadblocks to making appointments and the various options for that. Are there other things that you think are standing in the way of our seniors signing up for appointments if they want them? And are there any ideas of ways that you could overcome those hurdles?
You know, I think one of the hurdles, which is just a hurdle when we talk about emergencies and some of those things in the peninsula, is our geography and our accessibility to services and things. And that's really why we've been in cooperation with our healthcare partners, trying to put these clinics in places that are closer to seniors. So we've had some Nikiski clinics, Cooper Landing, Nenelchik, and you know, it's definitely understandable. We know that not everybody in the over 65 population has the same mobility. They may not have the same access to transportation, those things. So Kenai's offer is just a really tremendous idea where for their folks, they're getting people rides to the vaccination clinics and back, which is just wonderful. And so I think it's really a little bit of the nature of geography here in the Kenai Peninsula and where you happen to live and what community. Besides that, I think we've hit on the technology elephant quite a bit and have acknowledged that. And I think what's going to mitigate these things that we're talking about is really what we're already seeing, which is just the tremendous community effort. And I know that I've had a chance to talk to people as they've come to vaccine clinics, and many of them, children of parents have helped sign them up or get rides and do those types of things. And of course, we've had volunteers from medical and non-medical helping to make this process just as easy as possible. So, I can still see we're probably going to have some more bumps and hurdles along the way with different things, but really trying our best to accommodate just everybody we can, no matter what community they're in.
Okay. And looking down the road a little bit then to when future tiers are opened up, is it going to be the same process in place, the website, call your local providers? Is there an availability for someone to go ahead and get themselves on a list now, even though their tier isn't quite open yet? Do they need to wait until they're eligible? How is all that working?
And right now, we're going to wait to ask them to wait until they are eligible, and we do announce those tiers opening up. We really are focused on that over 65 population, that higher risk population. And really, once we can get a good amount of those folks vaccinated, those that want it, then I'm sure we're going to be moving on to those tiers. But as was mentioned earlier, it's going to be a bit more difficult to get those appointments once some of those next tiers open with critical infrastructure and some of those folks. And really, right now, it really does come down to a supply issue. We have only a limited set amount of vaccine. You know, all of the providers here, the providers on the call and many others throughout the peninsula, we could be giving more. We have that capacity. We just don't have the supply yet. It's still a very precious resource.
And how do those allocations work? And I don't know if this is a Justin or Kristen question as well for the provider standpoint. Do you put in a request? Do you just get notified, hey, this is the amount that you're getting expected on this day? Does that come through the borough and then it's divvied out to the providers?
So essentially what happens is all of the providers are essentially surveyed. So we get a monthly allocation. So there's one number for February, for instance. And so we ask, you know, what those the state does through the borough. We ask what those what capacity they have, and then basically submit that into the state. And the state, based on the allocation they get statewide, divvies that out generally based on population. And then once that gets to the borough level, there's a small task force that works with all of our providers to determine what that distribution is. So as it comes to the borough, it then gets distributed out. And again, generally based on population and capacity. So it goes across the borough in as equitable as a fashion as we're able to make it, but it does ultimately come from the state and how much the state allocates to our region.
And Justin or Kristen, how much advance notice do your clinics get of how many doses are coming your way and when they're coming your way to help with the planning aspect?
So from the medical clinic side, it's been a pretty short turnaround. And so the logistics staff has had to really be flexible and jump on things. And I have so much respect for the people who have done that, because there are a lot of phone calls and scheduling and reaching out to people that has to happen on a really short turnaround. Alaska has chosen to get the national allocations on a monthly basis, so we don't scramble every week, which is, I think, a big advantage for us. We just scramble once a month. But we were in a situation this week where we weren't certain how much we were going to get for February, and so we were on a little bit of a pause, not being able to schedule people until we knew how much vaccine was going to be available. We certainly didn't want to promise someone a vaccine that we weren't going to have. But now we know what our allocation is for the month. And so at Central Peninsula Internal Medicine, we are actively scheduling patients to come in for their vaccines.
And Justin, what about you guys at the pharmacy? Because you're doing vaccines on site, but then you guys are also administering to clinics elsewhere and in the community. So how are you guys balancing those allocations and what you're saving for the pharmacy and what you're using elsewhere?
It's been a lot of communication, a lot of organization that sort of had to take place between a lot of different partners in the community. Really just been blessed, honestly, to be a part of the Central Peninsula rollout. I think it's really been eye-opening to me why people love this community and why people stay here, because we do have a community's sense of responsibility and care for one another that's been really nice to see. I think, you know, we've gotten progressively better at the process. I think early in December, you know, there was a huge amount of excitement, and just getting, you know, the initial flat of Pfizer vaccine at Central Peninsula Hospital was, you know, a really noteworthy, newsworthy event. And, you know, we were granted access to a few hundred of those doses the very next day and started vaccinating people the next day at our area nursing homes and assisted living facilities. We went to three of the largest ones that very same week, Heritage Place, Carey's Place, and Riverside, really quickly. And I think that was a really good experience to get early access to that, to know how the rollout was going to happen. And then we've gone through a bunch of different phases and iterations of how things get allocated. In January, it was allocated sort of directly from the state to us. And then now for February, it's more of a local allocation and rollout. So working with people that you know a little closer, which is also really helpful. There's just a good dialogue that happens where, you know, there's an understanding of who can do what and how you can roll out vaccine in the most efficient and equitable way possible. I think it's been really nice from the pharmacy perspective to really make connections with other area providers and provide a platform for them to be able to help when they weren't exactly in a place to have allocation, but, you know, we can't do it by ourselves. And so there's been a retired nurses, there's been school nurses, there's been pharmacists from other pharmacies that have come, medical providers from all areas and of the peninsula that have shown up to to these clinics to volunteer time. And it's been, well, I mean, we obviously couldn't do that without them. So we're just, we become a conduit at that point, mostly because we were ready early, I guess, to be available and provide vaccine to the community. And I guess in this case, being early, you know, sort of meant that, you know, we got to learn the lessons first. And so we are trying to teach everyone else kind of the process. And that's gone really well. It's actually been really fun, if I have to be honest with you. And I've enjoyed it.